Johnny, gonna do something. Show him he's nobody's fool. Oh, yeah.
905 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Phillips here until 10 o'clock tonight. That's when Deion Jackson is going to take over. He'll take you all the way up until midnight. So all night, live and local, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And right now, I'm pleased to be joined by the Queen of Kitsch, Allie Willis. Allie, thanks so much for coming in.
My kitschy pleasure.
There is a big piece on you in the L.A. Times the other day in the calendar.
The L.A. Times this week was insanely wonderful to me. It was a full page, like three of the four columns or six of the eight. Or
yeah.
Something, head to toe. And then the next day in the L.A. Times blog, there was this huge piece. It was amazing.
The only way the L.A. Times would ever put a big picture of me in the newspaper is if I ever became a registered sex offender.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. No, I take that back. I don't want to hear anything about it. Okay.
So the Times profiled you because you have a brand new museum that you started, but it's not like a normal museum where busloads of school kids go down there and fall asleep when they're looking at bones of dinosaurs.
Yeah, no. No, and if busloads of school kids came, they would not be falling asleep. So it's that I have the world's largest collection of kitsch artifacts. Kitsch meaning
crap you buy at garage sales?
Yeah, except I don't think of it as crap at all.
Okay.
I mean, I think of it as like art.
Okay.
Really. And there's a lot of different definitions of kitsch. I think the classic definition was very kind of overwrought, bad taste, really, like a little seedy to it. I am on the Doris Day side of
yeah.
the line. My stuff that I love is very much sprung from pop culture,
yeah.
very much from mass consumption,
mm-hmm.
things that just took off that no one would have ever expected to take off. The classic example right now, well, there's two I can think of offhand. A, the Snuggie. Unbelievable. This cheap fleece, barely, piece of cloth with these two armholes in it,
yeah.
you know. And, you know, who would have thought? But that guy took his idea to Walmart. He made $14 million the first year. Everyone's got a Snuggie. A couple of weeks ago, they came out with Snuggies for dogs.
Really?
Yes, really. So here is someone who just had an idea, who probably a lot of people said to him, that's completely stupid. And the person believed enough in themselves and their vision to take it all the way. That's the part of it that I absolutely love. Someone identifying a need that was very obscure, yet completely took over pop culture. Another one that's out now is that thing for the hair. It's called the Bump It.
The Bump It.
Oh, my God. It makes everyone look like Dolly Parton or Bobby Lee Gentry or something. You know,
I'm just, definitely for that.
Yeah. It's just a little thing that squishes up the hair. That
okay.
scrunchy thing. Same.
Now, does Dolly put it in her breasts, too, or just her
no,
hair?
No, but have you seen the little piece of plastic that makes sure that your bra straps don't show if you wear, like, a low-cut back
no.
thing? I'm telling you, these things are all over. But but my stuff also is heavily into the memorabilia
yeah.
thing. You know, very much, you know, having to do with music. I have tons of radio memorabilia.
I've got a question for you because
yeah.
I am an I Love Lucy fanatic.
Yeah.
Crazy fanatic.
Yeah.
How much I Love Lucy stuff do you have?
Actually, the very, very, very first thing I ever bought, once I realized, ooh, I'm going to start collecting this stuff, I got it for $5 in a thrift shop in New York, was it's not so little. I guess it's about 18 inches tall by maybe 14 inches wide. It's a Baby Ricky bath set. And it's got a little pinafore in it. It's got a little clothespin, teeny little washcloth, like 4 inches square, some soap, a bubble pipe, a bottle of bubbles.
Yeah.
And it was the first radio, TV, film memorabilia I got. And it just absolutely killed me. And I still have that. I like obscure stuff, so I don't have the normal, the everyday stuff. I did a week-long YouTube festival on What is Kitsch, which is, you know, ran from last Monday to this Monday. Of course, it's up there forever. But and in my celebrity Kitsch movie, I have Lucy and Ricky, is it Pall Mall? I think cigarettes. It's a carton of cigarettes. What was Lucy
Unfiltered,
Ball,
I'm sure.
What was she doing promoting that? And it says, and it's Merry Christmas from Lucy and Ricky.
Well, that's why little Ricky had to listen to Lucy, because she really sacrificed for him. I mean, she gave up drinking and smoking for 4 months when she was pregnant with him.
Well, I'm glad she kept it up for so long.
Little kid better listen to her.
So I'm trying to think. I know I have other Lucy stuff, but not, you know, I'm very much against repro anything. So, I mean, my stuff's like real deal when it came out.
Because I'm moving right now, and I need to decorate my apartment.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were giving things away. I was getting so excited.
No. So I want to white trash it up. I really do. I want to have as much I Love Lucy stuff as I can possibly put.
But do you want vintage stuff, or do you don't care whether it's repro or...
I would prefer vintage, but if it's repro, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, I mean, God knows, you know, eBay, you could decorate in a night.
What do you think someone should pay for this stuff? You think you should pay top dollar?
Well, no. I'm against top dollar. But if you're getting repro stuff, there, you know, there's not that much bargaining.
Yeah.
But because I kind of came up in, you know, via thrift shops, flea markets, swap meets, and I started collecting so early, so I have so much.
Where do you keep all this stuff, by the way?
Well, my house / studio was built as the party house for MGM in 1937.
Okay.
And I live with the stuff. It's not like it's behind display cases or anything, but it's every drawer that you open, every closet, it's all there. And then I also have a 2,000 square foot storage garage that has everything in it, from cars to video sets I did to, you know, stuff.
Wow.
So
your house is like the Playboy Mansion for Kitsch.
Oh, without question. You know, my collection started with atomic 1950s, 60s, and 70s, really fine modern design.
Yeah.
And it really was that Baby Ricky bath set where I went, ooh, maybe this stuff is, you know, interesting. And then I started art directing a lot of music videos. And they, you know, there was never big budgets, even though they were big stars, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So my deal, I mean, I figured most people really wanted to shoot in my house. That's what a lot of it was about. So my deal was that anything that I actually bought for the set, I could keep once the shoot was over. And I art directed, production designed it was MTV's very, very first music clip show. It was the Julie Brown show. Just say
Downtown Julie Brown. I remember
the white Julie Brown.
The white Julie Brown.
The white Julie Brown.
Okay.
Who had ran for 3 years, and it was an unbelievably kitschy set, and that was her taste. And
was she British too?
No. Very. She had the Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so they replaced her with Black Julie Brown.
No, they were both on at the same time. One of them was a VJ, and one of them actually had a show. So
not to be confused with, like, white Michael Jackson and black Michael Jackson. These are different people.
Yes, these are actually separate people. So, anyway, so that show, I just went way over the line in terms of how kitschy my taste got. And then once I had enough of it, it was like, oh, my God, I love this stuff. Because I couldn't believe anyone made it in the first place.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's great.
So
sitcoms are great for that kind of stuff, too. If I could have all the stuff on any set of a sitcom, I would take the set of Roseanne in a heartbeat.
Now, I don't know if I could go that far. It seems plain, though.
Oh, all the paintings of the dogs playing pool?
Well, yeah. Now,
that'd go right above my fireplace.
That's easy to find, the poker players.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find those because there's lots of repros of those. But what you really want is it on velvet.
Yeah.
That
makes it classy.
That's when it gets classy. Yeah.
All right. Being joined right now by the Queen of Kitsch, Allie Willis, 800-222-5222. If you'd like to weigh in, 1-800-222-5222. When we come back, more on the Museum of Kitsch, and we'll talk more about what you did in music, because not only did you design the sets for the music videos, but you wrote a lot of the songs that we've heard of and listened to all the time on the radio.
Absolutely.
Allie Willis with us till 10 on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
McIntyre in the morning. Mark Levin for the ride home. The Dodgers all season long. Everything Southern California is talking about happens here. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Lucy?
Yes, dear?
Give me a cigarette, will you, huh?
Don't say cigarettes. Say Philip Morris.
Oh? Is there any other kind?
Not for you, there isn't. Nothing but the best for Mr. Ricardo.
Thank you. Lucy, you're so good to me.
You see how easy it is to keep a man happy? Why not give your husband a carton of Philip Morris cigarettes?
Smart move. He'll love them for their mildness, their smoothness, and their wonderful good taste. And he'll love you, too, for thinking of him.
That's right. Good night, everybody. And don't forget, call for Philip Morris.
It's 9:22 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Phillips
first
here
of
until
all,
10 o'clock tonight with Allie Willis, the Queen of Kitsch.
That little guy at the end, I always wanted to squash. That call for Millis Morris. Willis, Phyllis, Philip Morris. So annoying, I can't deal with it. But I never heard that commercial. That's so unbelievable. So I need to get a copy of that to, you know, play with the carton of cigarettes.
Yeah, because you don't hear any of those ads on TV anymore. No cigarette ads. They really cut down on a lot of the alcohol ads.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see. You're now seeing ads for condoms, and you can see get ads for the Cialis and.
Wow! Oh, the Cialis stuff. Oh my God! That whole genre of stuff. The TV ads are so annoying, and they're all so relaxed. Oh my God! Just want to smack them.
Some old guy playing golf or roller skating, and it's an ad for Cialis. It's like, what are you planning on doing with Cialis when you're roller skating through the park?
Yeah, I know. It's
unless you're on the Jessica's Law website. What do you think? Now, you've written, among other things, you wrote the theme song to Friends.
Yes.
That the Rembrandts
yes.
performed.
Co-wrote that with Michael Skloff. Yes.
What do you say to these people who believe that television rots your brain?
Well, I absolutely adore television. I mean, I've been a very firm believer in the internet replacing television for 20 years, but I absolutely love TV. Before flat screens, I had a TV on every wall of every room, so that, you know, there were these big like heads protruding from the wall.
Yeah.
Because I never wanted to miss anything, you know, and everything was tuned. So I used to
in the
have
bathrooms
it.
Too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not on every wall though. One, which was a big sacrifice, but no, I love TV, and as far as rotting brains, anything rots your brain, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there are incredible things on TV, so if you don't rot the brain rotting stuff, it, you know, it doesn't do it. So I'm not in favor of people who judge anything. So, but I really don't have patience for that because, you know, television united the world. You know, it absolutely changed the world culture.
I grew up in front of the television.
Yeah, me too.
And my mom used to force me to do sports and Little League and, you know, all of those things. And I would do it because my friends were doing it. But I'd be out there and I'd be thinking, man, I'm missing a rerun of I Love Lucy for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shagging fly balls. And
yeah. Now, I love seeing what I really, really love on TV, and I did absolutely love sitcoms. I adore reality shows. I did right from the very jump.
I don't like reality shows,
oh,
I've got
I
to
love
admit.
Reality show. I love it. I have no patience for scripted TV anymore.
I love the dating shows when those were on. Because dating shows are a lot like game shows of the old days, except instead of winning a refrigerator, it's just guys walk up to the Plinko board and they walk up to see who gets to nail the whore.
But dating shows, like 70s dating shows?
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, yeah. I love those too. But I love those because I love seeing the vintage hairdos and outfits that they're wearing.
Looks like an old yearbook.
Oh, my God. Kills me. Oh, my God. You are on
the
it.
The flip hair.
On it.
Yeah.
Also, the colors of the set. I mean, amazingly rich, like Technicolor.
Yeah.
You know.
It really, it looks
I'm
like
looking. I want to see it on. See the little daisies on the wall, but
so do you like the reality program? Do you watch like Survivor and those shows, or do you mainly watch like the Osbournes and reality shows like that?
I like kind of, if we're talking about shows on now, I love very top level shows like Top Chef, Project Runway, because I love shows that are about creative process.
Yeah.
But I also love the bottom feeders. I really love those. I actually wrote the theme, co-wrote the theme to Real Chance of Love, which is VH1 Chance and Real from I Love New York and I Love Money. And sing on that as well. So I think it's important that the person who co-wrote The Color Purple also does Real Chance of Love. So that, though, is the point about kitsch, though, that I actually would love to make. My type of kitsch, and just in general, things that I love. I love, working at, like, a top level, meaning you have access to incredible technology so your ideas can take form in different shape than when you didn't have access to that. Working with really like brilliant collaborators who expand your brain and your, you know, universe. So I'm very intrigued with the ideas at the top and the art forms that come out of it.
Yeah.
But I'm incredibly intrigued with the bottom level where there isn't necessarily massive talent going on, but there's so much heart and there's so much passion. And I've had over 1,000 songs cut. I've seen 5 or 6 people perform them, like really, for, you know, like going to concerts to see actual legitimate things. Yet I'll get in my car and drive hundreds of miles if you tell me someone is, like, performing one of my songs and singing it so out of tune and doing drum solos on the side of their guitar.
That's what I like, too.
Yeah.
I would. Now, because I have a new place, I get to absolutely start from scratch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's nothing that I'm required to put up.
But what
up.
Did you do with your old stuff? Just
I haven't decided what
street?
I'm going to do with it. Yeah. But I want my new place to look like I'm ready to host one big white trash debutante ball.
Well, no, that's not hard, really. I can tell you where to go. So.
What would be your first suggestion?
Well,
I love Lucy. I love Roseanne.
See, but I think you, it's hard because I'm such a vintage purist.
Yeah.
And I don't think you necessarily need that.
No. I like, by the way, how you looked over your glasses to me when you said that.
But I'm someone who just loves to find things.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I love 99-cent stores are heaven to me. Target is heaven to me.
Yeah.
You know, whereas
do you like Costco and Walmart?
I love Costco. I have literally never been in a Walmart in my life.
Really?
Yeah, just because they're not around me. So
you would love Walmart.
Really?
If you like Target and you like Costco.
I would love the Shoppers of Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but yeah, Costco, I absolutely adore. And Costco has like unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, you can buy 45 croissants for $2.
That happen to taste good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So.
All right. It's 9:30 in the evening. John Phillips here until 10 o'clock tonight. Allie Willis is my guest. She's the queen of kitsch. What's the website address, by the way, for the Kitsch Museum online?
AWMOK.com. Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch. .com, and it's a social network, so it isn't just about looking at all these things. It's about a community who's contributing things to it and everyone having conversations about it, and it's really funny, colorful, happy stuff. So there's a lot of people with incredible personalities wandering around there.
When we come back, let's talk more about the music, because among other things that you've done, you've written for LaToya Jackson.
Absolutely.
And LaToya, after all, is my favorite Jackson.
I mean, I have sold close to 60 million records, so the fact that you would point out LaToya Jackson is pretty fantastic.
Well, I love LaToya.
I do, too.
I especially like her laugh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't get enough of that one. It's like a morphine drip. I keep hitting it. All right. 9:31 in the evening. Phillips here until 10 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Breaking down the politician speak in BS so you can understand what's really being said. McIntyre in the morning. Mark Levin for the ride home. We're Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey, Jerry, put on a show. You play them songs everybody knows. Beat the skins and keep it in time. You make me loose like a bottle of wine when you beat.
Thirty-eight on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wow. Of everything that I have written, the fact that you chose that, though, it is completely appropriate for Kitsch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Should we say what that is?
Go ahead.
Well, it's called Hey Jerry, and it was actually a video I did earlier this year that exploded on YouTube. At one point, it was the 12th most popular video in the world, and with Jerry Phil, who is a now 92, but at that time 91-year-old female drummer on an oxygen tank. And
I think I saw her playing slot machines at State Line.
Let me tell you something. This woman, the joke's on all of us. She's had like a 70-year career, constantly gigs. She injured her hip recently, so she's recovering from that. But, I mean, she has drummed. She was, you know, discovered in 1928 in Chicago, you know, drummed for the Capone Boys. And
that had to be a rough gig.
It was unbelievable. Her parents, like, ran gin for them. So it was during, like, you know, Prohibition. But just, like, incredible jazz drummer, still keeps a completely steady beat.
Yeah.
Had an absolute ball working with her. And I would love to recut Neutron Dance, my song, my Pointer Sisters song.
Yeah.
With her. I think that would be good. Maybe get the Pointers singing on it.
Allie Willis is my guest. She is the queen of Kitsch. And give that website address one more time for the Kitsch Museum.
AWMOK.com. Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch. And it's just some really funny stuff. Budding social network and, you know.
So you've written for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, which is September.
Well, September was my very first hit I ever had. Boogie Wonderland. The whole I Am album, except for a couple songs, two songs.
Uh-huh.
In the Stone. Depends on if you're white or black, which of the Earth, Wind, and Fire songs you like the best. If you were a black DJ, the fact that I just said In the Stone, your head would have hit the console. That's the one. The white ones love, you know, September.
Right.
But, I mean, sure. I adore September.
September's a song I know because, look at me, a 100-watt light bulb gives me a third-degree burn.
honky. Of all of my stuff, I don't think it's necessarily the best song, but I think it's an unbelievable record. It was just a great match of song with group. You know, Maurice White, to me, is the greatest soul singer that ever lived, and that band is so talented.
How hard is it to write music? Because when you're writing music, you're not only writing words, but you're writing words to lyrics.
Words to lyrics. I write both music and lyrics.
To music.
I write both music and lyrics. I think a lot of people think of me as just a lyricist. Well, for two reasons. A, I'm associated with a lot of male groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, to this day, I don't know how to read, write, or play. So though I hear every note in my head, and because of electronics, I can literally tinkle out a note at a time, basically, and eventually build a whole record. But
is that common, or is that pretty unique?
No, it's certainly more unique than common, but it's not completely uncommon. You know, I think as long, especially in this day and age, as long as you have the means to, you know, get a melody down and go at your own pace in your own home, putting a record together, you can, you know. I'm a firm believer in turn your weaknesses into strengths. That's really what creates hooks.
Writing music to me sounds about as difficult as curing cancer because I have no abilities at all when it comes to music. None. I mean, when you see me dance, I dance like Elaine on Seinfeld.
Ooh, you have to go to the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch. I'll feature you. I'll give you a concert.
Yeah, I have slightly less coordination than Al Gore when it comes to dancing.
Well, you know, dancing is about spirit. It's about expressing yourself.
Yeah.
So if you're not self-conscious about it, it's cool.
That's why I need to be drunk to do it.
Well, I guess a lot of people, but, you know.
So you've also written for LaToya Jackson. And since you've written for LaToya Jackson.
I don't even remember what song it was. I just, that is the only Jackson, though, that ever.
Well, she, again, is my favorite Jackson.
I'm going to have to go with you. There.
Although I'm thinking Jermaine is inching up on her because I ran into him at a Dodger game.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was wearing shoe polish on his head.
Oh, boy.
So anyone that's willing to wear shoe polish on their head scores extra points with
me. Okay, I can't be in this conversation.
So I want you to listen to this clip of LaToya Jackson being interviewed by Barbara Walters, and I want to get your take on
this. And this was recent, right?
This was recent.
Yeah, like two weeks or something.
Yeah, after Michael.
Right.
Kick the bucket. Here we go.
But in her early 30s, LaToya veered away from Michael into treacherous waters. She married her manager, Jack Gordon, 20 years older, and a convicted felon, who she says took control of her life, moving her away from her brother's influence. LaToya says he forced her to pose for Playboy and appear in several pornographic videos.
Barbara, I was just like a little kid, just right there. You to do what I say, I tell you what to do. I'm your puppeteer, I pull the strings, and you act. And guess what? I did it, Barbara. I didn't know any better. I was too afraid because he promised if I did anything out of the ordinary that he would kill me. And he took it a step further. He said, and if you don't believe me, I will do it to your brother as well. And I believed him. I had no reason not to.
And these kids are going to be scarred for the rest of their life.
During the time of your marriage, you accused Michael of being a pedophile.
Yes.
But I cannot and I will not be a silent collaborator of his crimes.
Gordon gave me this piece of paper and he says, read this. Says, he goes, you better say this. You say this.
Jack Gordon forced you to say that your brother was a pedophile. Did you think he was?
No, I did not. The courts have proven that too as well.
Why did Jack Gordon want you to say that your brother was a pedophile?
He had this hatred towards my brother that I can never explain to you why it was.
Just to make things very clear, you recanted your accusation. Are you sure today that your brother never had any undue relationship with a child?
Barbara, Michael is not. He is not.
He is not a pedophile.
No, he's not.
There is a book out that suggests that Michael was gay. Do you think he was?
No, absolutely not.
You think he liked women?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know what she was thinking there. No, he's not gay. He's a pedophile. Barbara, follow the
dots. I'm staying out of this conversation.
She also went on to say that Joe Jackson is the man that Michael would want raising his kids.
Well, that's, like, nutty.
Yeah.
That's really nutty. But, you know.
There's a big pot of money that's now available, and I think everyone wants their piece of the pie.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Allie Willis is my guest. She's the queen of kitsch. You can see her museum online. Website one more time.
AWMOK.com. Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch.
And she's with me until 10 o'clock tonight on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
What takes a politician hours to say? We break down in a few seconds. Back in Iowa in the morning. Mark Levin for the ride home. We're Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's 9:51 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Phillips here until 10 o'clock tonight. Being joined by Allie Willis, the queen of kitsch. This is LaToya Jackson, by the way.
Trust me, I know. Oh, my God. I'm never going to live down the queen of kitsch. I love it.
So, we were talking during the break about the difference between kitsch and camp. Because in addition to loving I Love Lucy and Roseanne, I also love the movie Mommy Dearest. But
yeah,
I think that may actually cross the line.
No, I would probably consider that kitsch, too. But I think the classic difference between, if there is a clear difference between kitsch and camp is someone putting something on in order to be over the top. It's a very conscious expression.
Yeah.
Kitsch is completely unselfconscious. Someone is performing or making something, they're so guided by this blinding light vision they have. It never occurs to them that they're doing anything that is outrageous. They're not trying to be outrageous at all. It just happens. So one is very conscious, one is very unconscious.
And with Mommy Dearest, they didn't make that movie attempting to make a campy movie. In fact, I think that was one of the criticisms that Faye Dunaway has about the movie, is
yeah.
that it was interpreted as being camp, but it was meant to be a window into the mind of a very tortured woman.
Right. But it is, you know, and then the obvious, you know, like the hangar scene. And,
oh, my
you know,
favorite.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. You know my favorite line from the movie, though?
What?
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt.
That's actually really good. That's good. Wow. Well.
So you got a big party coming up.
Yes. Well, the museum, awmok.com, opened on Monday online. And in a grand opening week celebration, there were two parties at Ghetto Gloss. Ghetto Gloss is a fantastic gallery that was in Silver Lake, just moved to Melrose. So it's east of Highland on Melrose. And I have a blog that I started in March called Kitsch, you know, Allie Willis's Kitsch of the Day. And it's one piece from my collection every day with a little story I write about it. So all of the things that have been featured in Kitsch of the Day are on display at the gallery. And we had a party on Monday night. There's another one this coming Monday night. And it's indeed a very special Monday night because it is, in fact, the 21st night of September, which is the opening line of, you know, The Earth, Wind, and Fire Hit September, which I co-wrote. And so we're having, among many things that are happening there, karaoke, but only of September. So no other song but September. And I have really kitschy karaoke versions of that.
You know who you need to come?
Earth, Wind, and Fire happening.
Well, you know who would be a phenomenal singer of this song at your party on Monday?
Yeah.
There's a Ty Elvis that
sings. Oh, I know about the Ty Elvis.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Have you seen him in concert?
Many years ago, on he used to be at a restaurant on Vine.
Yeah, he still is there. He owns
there?
The restaurant.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. Well, he's legendary. Well, trust me.
I wonder if his daughter's a Scientologist too.
If you're listening, Ty Elvis, 6109 Melrose, 7 to 9 Monday night, 7 to 11.
I wonder if he performs wedding ceremonies too. That would be a
reason
can't
to
miss.
Get married.
Absolutely.
So.
You should do it in Vegas, too.
Wow.
So, sounds like a big party. How many people are you expecting?
I don't know. I mean, certainly multiple hundreds.
Is it an invitation-only thing, or can anyone stop
basically
by?
Basically invitation-only. However, no. It is open. If you're an appreciator of Kitsch, otherwise, this ain't the place.
They're going to get thrown out on their ass. And there's deservedly so, I might add.
Yes.
Okay.
Big bouncers there, big bouncers.
Allie Willis, the queen of Kitsch, and so much more. Thanks so much for coming in.
My
I appreciate
pleasure.
It.
My pleasure. I had a ball.
We'll have to have you back on, then.
I'm coming back.
Okay. All right. Deion Jackson, after the news at 10. I'll be back Monday night at 6 for a full show. The Dodgers play a day game that day. So make sure you tune in Monday at 6. Have a good weekend. John Phillips, Talk Radio 790 KABC.